It's good to be together. It's good to see everyone here. I will admit that my head is still a little bit in the fog. Being gone for a week it kind of gets you out of the loop, I guess. But maybe that's kind of why we go away for a week, is to get out of the loop for a little while. But it is good to be back together, and I'm excited to be able to spend time with everybody here. You know, when we're away, we really miss everybody. And we try to keep abreast of the things that are going on and kind of keep in touch. But we are still not really in touch because we're gone. But at any rate, the lesson for today came from some statements that were made in worship this past Sunday. Dorothy and I were privileged to be able to worship with the Avondale Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia, somewhere in that circumference. Don't know quite where it was. But they had a guest speaker, and Stan Butt was the speaker, and he was speaking on marriage enrichment. And he made a lot of statements, and of course, I had this passage read in Ephesians chapter 5 because of a statement at the close of that, because it was that idea that kind of brought this to my mind to apply it to the Lord's church. Notice that in verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So in other words, he spent all this time talking about a husband and wife relationship, and the message he's trying to get across is not how to treat one another, a husband and wife, but he's talking about Jesus and the church. And so now he finishes up saying, okay, now I've said that, but remember, you still need to treat each other right in a husband and wife relationship. All right. And so, but the purpose of it was about the church. And so the more I thought about that, the more I kind of brought it together, and it's been rolling around in my mind ever since. Because 2 weeks ago we talked about the church was kind of like a business, or a kingdom rather. And we talked about the relationship of the church and kind of how the function of it is and how it's to work and how it's to go forward. But, you know, it's not just like a kingdom. It's like a family. Now, I want you to remember that the family of God, the church, Jesus is the husband. The church, which is comprised of individuals that have been added by Jesus to the body, Acts 2:47, we are the bride of Jesus. And so as you look at this husband-wife relationship where the wife is to submit to the husband and the husband is to love his wife as his own body, we're actually looking at the relationship that you and I need to have to Jesus. Now keep in mind, in this society, this submission deal, we've got such an attitude about it. And the reason we do, I think, is because we got a lot of no-account men that don't treat women the way they ought to be treated. I don't think a woman that's treated the way that she should be is going to have much of an issue with the submission aspect, especially to a man that loves her as his own body. Look what Jesus has done for you and me. Can we say that he did not make sacrifices above and beyond? Can we not say that he treated us with the greatest of respect and he's done everything in his power to make it so that we can be holy and sanctified and pure? He has. You and I, as the bride, we've got a responsibility. And guys, our responsibility is to submit. He's the husband. You and I are the wife. We must give in to his leadership. We must give in to his word. We must humble ourselves. And in a nation of the free, humility, submit, you've got to be crazy. I'm on top of the world and I'm the king of the mountain. So you do what I say, right? And that's the kind of the world that we live in. But Jesus says, no, wait a minute. The church is like a family. Jesus is the head. He's the husband. The church, you and I who are bought with the blood of Christ, are the wife. Our job is to submit. We live in a society where it's very difficult to find good examples of families. We see so many bad examples. And you know what? It's kind of like, it's still like it used to be. The NBC and ABC and CBS News is all about the bad stuff that's happening. Is it still that way? Those of you that watch it? And you know the reason is because that's what gets ratings. Nobody wants, the Grit is not a major selling newspaper. Because all they report on is good stuff. Nobody really wants to hear the good stuff. They want to hear the bad stuff. Now, saying that, I think there's some good examples of families. But I tell you what, we hear a lot about the bad examples in our society. And so as we look at that, we recognize that we've got a lot of problems. We got fathers that aren't present in the home. You know, I go to Jamaica and I see it's actually so much like it is here. We've got homes without fathers. You know, the fathers, they father children and they're off and gone. They don't care. When they are there, they're not there. They don't pay attention to the wife. They don't pay attention to the children. They don't take that responsibility of supporting and admonishing and encouraging and teaching to the family as they should. And so we've got a lot of absentee fathers, even fathers that are present in the home. And so there's a lot of bad examples. We got brothers and sisters who don't honor and support and uphold one another in this world in which we live. I've done a lot of funerals, and some of the fighting that I see at these funerals, you know, it's just, I remember years ago I preached a lesson and on the mother that had died, and the family was fighting and bickering and hating each other. And about 5 years later, I preached the funeral of the father. They were still fighting and bickering about the same stuff. Who wants to be a part of a family like that? You know, and I'm thinking, man, what about all these bad examples? You know, we need to make sure that we recognize the responsibility that we have to Jesus. Now, as the church, we are that bride. But keep in mind, we're also brothers and sisters. And familiarity may breed contempt, but I guarantee you, the world around us is going to look and see whether or not we have love for one another. They look at us and they see it, don't they? I've had so many comments say that, you know, as they've come into the midst of the assembly here, they find such great comfort and joy in the love that is exhibited towards them and towards one another. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it should always be. And when the cables are strained and there's stress involved, we need to come back to Jesus as the husband. We need to look at His direction. We need to see the role and the relationship that we are to nurture and to keep the love that is there. Guys, we can see so many bad things around us, but we must never allow that to influence us as the church, the family of God. You know, as we look at this, a lot of times we look at these things in despair and we say, well, you know, I just don't know if I can do it. You know, but we see so many bad things, and is it not easy to follow the crowd? You know? We see all this stuff around us, and it's easy to be just like everybody else, because to be different, it takes a lot of strength. To be different, we have to go against the grain and do different than everybody else and have them tell us, why do you do that? Well, you know, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm glad that Jesus, as the husband, is always there to give, provide, and help us to have the strength that we need to do the things that are tough. How many of us find it's tough to do things sometimes the right way? You know, I find that daily. The challenges that are there, you know, so often I want to say things, or I want to do things to lash back, or I want to get back at individuals for the things that they do. And in reality, you know, I have a responsibility to treat each one as I should, and I need the strength of Jesus to do it. Because I don't have what it takes. I really don't. I see the challenges that are there. And I yearn for that good relationship and that love that we can share and be on the same page and be working out all of the struggles and having happiness. But sometimes those things become a challenge and they become difficult. But that's why we've got to come back to Jesus. We've got to think about how Jesus suffered for us. That song, they bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They talk about the crown of thorns and the mocking and the cruel cross and the anguish that he had on the cross and the problems that went with it. And what kind of things can I find to complain about? How lame. I've got a husband that has done everything in his power so that I could be pure. And then he promised me strength if I come to him and ask. And so if I fail, is it my fault? You better believe it is. It's not Jesus's, because he's done his part. And so we need to recognize, let's not despair about the struggles and the difficulties around us, but let's go to Jesus for help. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And as we do that, we need to be that shining light on a hill. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he's talking about what you and I need to be. We need to be something that people look to and see. We need to be that light that people come to for security and help and hope. But if we're not living like Jesus, if we're not that proper bride that we should be, we're certainly not a light that people want to come to, but we're something that people wander around and they have no direction. And so we need to be that good example of the family that Jesus intended for us to be, of that humble, submissive bride. Submit? What was that book, the title of the book? Who, me submit to him? Now, ladies, the only way I can relate with that is I have to be just as submissive to Jesus and to you, as you are to your husband. Do you remember Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21? Stan brought this out, and he mentioned the area of submission, but he said in chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. I have to submit every bit as much as any of you. Because I'm the bride of Christ. I'm part of that bride. I understand submission. I understand that I don't like it. I understand that I don't always get to do what I want to do. Sometimes I think as the husband of the family, and you get to do less of what you really want to do. Because my job is to make sure that my bride gets to do what she would like to do. Submission. All of us must understand and be submissive to Jesus and to one another. Submission is not a pleasant thing, but it is the role of a proper, happy family. We need to remember the light that we are to be, and we also need to understand in John chapter 13 and verse 35. I really like this passage, and it's something that is so very important as we consider the role that we have and how we've got this world that is looking to us for direction in their life. And in John 13, 35, it says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another." You know, the church and the family of God is kind of like a marriage. Sometimes the love is strained. Sometimes we don't really want to show love like we should. But does it go well if you decide to not show love when you don't feel like showing love? It kind of goes downhill, doesn't it? And that's kind of the way it works in God's family. That's why at all times we need to be careful to make sure that our light shines bright. And we need to express that love and be very careful in the times where it gets tough to make sure that we still act in a loving way to one another. Because the church is like a family. It's that place of security. It's kind of like in the physical family. We've got children that need security, that mom and dad love one another. A place that they can come to for comfort and help and hope and security at any time. That's what God's family is supposed to be. And if you and I don't act that way, it's not that way. It's not a place of security. It's not a sense of I'm able to go there to be able to find what I need. We're supposed to be that way. And you know what? If we don't have that love, the world's going to look and say, they call themselves Christians. And you know what they call that? It's a well-known word. They call it hypocrites. We got to talk and act, don't we? We can't just talk a good game, but we've got to show the good game. And I tell you what, we're not really showing a good game until the stress comes into the relationship. There's not really love until you have to give in and to submit to keep things properly in order, to keep the relationship as it should be. You know, one thing that I've learned about marriage after 40 years is that it took those struggles and those challenges and those hard times to give us the good relationship that we have, and I don't think the church is any different. Yes, we can go through some struggles, but when we go through them and we work them out the way Jesus says, we become stronger, just like in a marriage. We work out those problems. And we come to terms and understand one another, and then we learn how to appreciate one another. And we learn so much. That's what we need to do as God's family. And when the world sees that, they see a place of comfort that they can come to for help and security. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love for one another. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, you know, Stan brought this passage up, and it's not been long ago that we studied this, but I looked at it in a different light because he related this passage to a marriage relationship. And of course, if you remember right, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, he's writing to the same congregation that he wrote the letter of Ephesians to, and he put that section in there about the marriage relationship. Now, go with me to this passage, if you would. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 2. And Jesus says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and how you cannot bear them that are evil. And you've tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And has borne, and has patience, and has for my name's sake labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You know, that's what happens when we've been married a little while. Young people, I want you to stop and think about this because, you know, you get married and it's all stars and amazing. And then after a few years, you find out there's actually warts involved. And then you begin to hit head on with your mate. And you realize that, oh, it's not quite as rosy as I thought it was going to be. And then you can go through the motions of marriage. But after a while, you have a tendency to lose that first love. And this is one thing that I try to you know, especially after hearing that lesson, I've tried to think about Dorothy and how much I love her and where we began. Because the next verse helps us to understand that, not just about a husband-wife relationship, but about you and me as the church. Watch what he says. This is the remedy for leaving that first love. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Where did you start? What happened? You fell away from that love. Remember. And he says, repent. Now, we don't ever want to repent, because if we repent, we recognize and acknowledge that we were wrong. Anybody here want to be caught wrong? No, not a way. But we're all human beings and we all make mistakes. It's the humble ones that go to heaven. Jesus says to remember where you're falling from. Remember how good it was. Remember those good emotions and those good feelings and that love that you had. Remember. Repent. In other words, change the things that you've done that have got you going down the wrong path. And then the last part in that verse, he says, and do the first works. Do the first works. In other words, remember the love that you had. Stop doing the things that you've quit doing and go back and do the first things that you do. Remember that great relationship that you had. Now, we need to do that in marriage, and we also have to do that in the family of God. Guys, don't ever give up on that loving relationship. I know that time can bring about some hurtful things. It really can. There's not a one of us here that hasn't been hurt by somebody. Whether it's in marriage, that's normal. Those of us been married a while, we know that it's easy to do things to hurt one another. But then there's the church. And it's easy for us to do or say things that are wrong. Now remember, the repentance, it needs to be there. Okay? But when we talk and we discuss it and we work it out, we can do that. Just as in a marriage. You know, I've noticed that, you know, if Dorothy and I don't finally sit down and work out what we're angry about, we continue to be angry. And that don't work too good, you know. It doesn't make a good relationship, and it doesn't make a happy home. But once we work them out, then we can restore peace to that home. And then we come back together and we're happy again. Same thing in the church. Guys, I want to encourage you to remember how wonderful it is at the first. And then if you find yourself drifting away from that, I want you to come back to the way you felt at the beginning. Analyze the struggles and the problems and the difficulties that are there. And go back and do the first things. Find forgiveness. You know, one of the things that I've found, and I see this in my relationship with Dorothy. Something happened the other day, and I don't remember what it was, but she asked me to do one or two things, and I was angry. I didn't say anything, but I did it, but I was frustrated because I was being asked to do that. And sometime later, a day or two, she expressed to me why she had asked me to do that. And I was ashamed. Guys, it's so easy to hurt each other. But I dare say, and I believe I'm right, that it's a very rare case that somebody tried to hurt you. It was a misunderstanding. We've got to keep the love. We've got to keep the family tight, bound together in the love that Jesus had for you and me. Because when we don't keep that love there, we have a poor relationship and we have a breakup, neither of which are good. That love is so very important, and that lack of love is which drives the world away and says the church is full of hypocrites. They say one thing and act another way. We must always be understanding with one another to consider one another's feelings and emotions and desires and struggles. And when we do that as the church, we will be the family that Jesus designed for you and us to be. Now keep in mind, as Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, he's talking about the family of God. But the point being is, he also said in verse 33, you make sure your family, your physical family, is the way that I'm telling you the church is supposed to be. Now, we all make mistakes in our physical family. But God gives us direction in His Word, and that's where He says to submit. We are to submit to God as supreme. We are to give in to Him and do what He says, whether or not it feels good at the time. Whether or not we like to lash out and feel justified in making somebody else hurt because we've been hurt, that's not submission. That's a haughty attitude. And we're human. We all feel like that, don't we? We all want to do that. We want to get our way. We want to push our weight around. But Jesus said that the greatest of all in the church is the servant to all. Let's all strive to be that servant. We're going to look at a few more things this afternoon in this lesson. Let's remember that to begin with, we need to be the family of God. Before we can properly act like the family of God, we must be a part of that family. Jesus teaches us how to do that by hearing His Word in Romans 10:17 and gaining a faith. By recognizing what it says and changing when I do something that doesn't agree with what He said, that's called submission. Submit to His will. In other words, change. I haven't been right, but I'm going to change and do what's right. Then I must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, He's got the right to tell me what to do. I might not like it. I might not want to. But He's got the right. And actually, if I want a good life, I'm going to have to listen. I can go off and move my own way. Yeah, I can do that. And enjoy a life of misery and then an eternity that's even worse. Don't want that. I don't want that. But He also says that to be a part of the family of God, I must be baptized with Him in water for the remission of my sins, so that I can rise to walk in that newness of life. Such a simple, simple thing that Jesus teaches us in the Scriptures. But then He also says that I better be faithful. I've got to continue to live for Him. And I'm going to tell you something. You live the way God says, and it'll bless your life here. And that don't even touch the hem of the garment for eternity, how wonderful it's going to be. It's worth it to be a part of God's family and to have to submit to the will of Jesus as we live this life. If there's anybody here this morning that would need to respond to the invitation, guys, please do it now while we stand and while we sing.